Good evening, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope y'all are having a great afternoon out there. Thanks so much for joining me. James here, solo show today, but I am not alone. I got all of you. Hit us in the number 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app, and just between us, you're going to want to keep that app handy, because next week we're starting Civic Media's Up and Down the State Break into Spring Text to Win contest. Got some fun stuff in store for you with that one. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Get into our schedule. Got plenty more to talk about today, too, as well. Some news that the NFL released about the Green Bay Packers and an award given to them. I don't know if they've been how much you've heard about. I don't know if it's been covered, really. I also want to talk Green Bay and kind of what was being... What has come out from the combine and some of the pro day visits that they have planned and some of that. Want to get into America's sport. What is, they took a survey recently. What is America's game? Let's find out. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. A couple of other stories I want to get into, some, stats of the show and some of those things. Most importantly, I want to hear from you. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods for sponsoring the hour. We greatly appreciate them doing that. Let's go ahead and start off with brackets. Let's talk NCAA basketball. I will do my best to focus on the show while Ole Miss is trying to hang on to a lead over the North Carolina Tar Heels. There's about 2:49 left in that one. I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. I know I should be locked in. I have a job to do, but there's basketball going on right now, and I can't help it. And an upset, possibly. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
James, I'll let you win. My brackets are kind of goofed up a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
Some of the changes I should have made when I was sitting there thinking about it, and I didn't do it, and I'm paying for it now.
I hear you. So far so good for me. I only had time to fill out one bracket this year. I filled out Civic Media does a kind of up and down our stations, a bracket thing challenge, and I'm in that pool and I'm in fourth right now. But that could change within minutes. So, let's look at the positives. The negatives are all out there. We've seen plenty of those. There's been upsets all over the place. There's been some surprises. I will say, I know people, I know somebody doesn't know basketball when they tell me, wow, St. Mary's upset Vanderbilt. Like, no, St. Mary's had a better team than Vanderbilt. They were higher ranked. But there's some that I think also that here's something you can't do. So a lot of people, are talking about Drake beating Missouri. And they're also saying how, well, this was easy. Everybody had this one. Then how come everybody didn't have it? Because I know I've seen a lot of people that didn't have that. I did take Drake over Missouri just because of the guards again and that one. That was one of the few ones I had. I had another one too. There was one other one that I had that was a bit of an upset. But then I also got bit by, like everybody else, by Mississippi State losing or winning over Baylor. I thought Baylor was going to win that one.
That's what I had too. I had Baylor picked on that one.
I had Yale beaten up on Texas A&M. I didn't think that one was going to be close.
Oh, really?
I thought that. So there was another one that I had wrong. Oh, well, I did have Creighton. That was the one. I had Creighton over Louisville. I was proud of that one.
Yeah. But, That was the one I didn't switch. One of the ones I didn't switch along was the Drake one I was going to switch, and I didn't do that one. I should have went my gut with that Louisville one. I knew I should have went Creighton on that because just on how well they played in the SEC tournament the Big East tournament, and Xavier tonight. I didn't pick Xavier either, but I probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Who did you have winning it all? Who did you have in the final?
I have Duke.
Right on. Yeah.
And I know you're not big on that one.
Oh, but, no, I went back and forth. I have Auburn and Duke in the final, and I went back and forth between the two of them. So
I went Florida Duke.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I have, and again, I drank the Kool-Aid on Rick Pitino a long time ago, so I went St. John's mm-hmm. upsetting Florida there. But I feel weird saying upsets because I have all ones and twos in my Elite Eight and everything. I didn't really, the upsets to me were in the early rounds, and then after that, you know, they kind of the dust settled. For me, I think that one of the fun ways of doing this, if you have the time, and this is the thing when I'm talking to most of my friends or people about this, nobody had the time to fill out brackets this year. I don't know why this year was different than others, but nobody I talked to had the time to fill out multiple brackets, if any brackets. But in years past, what I always like to do is fill out one that, well, this is what my head thinks, this is what my gut thinks, and being able to fill out two brackets if you can, and just kind of, you know, having fun with it. I don't know. I think one thing that we can all look at, though, is Wisconsin is continuing on, and Wisconsin has a difficult challenge with another offensive top 15 offensive team in BYU, but certainly not overwhelming. I wouldn't say that either team should go into this one thinking that they're an underdog or an overdog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if an overdog is a real thing. I might have just made that up, but regardless, when you got I think the Big Ten Player of the Year in John Tonji, I would feel pretty good going into this one.
Well, it just depends on how well they shoot, and that's the big key. If they can, you know, and they need good bench play too. Just like they've had the last couple of days, but our last couple of games, they've had great bench play, great defense, especially going against BYU, that they are just phenomenal, and they can throw up to three, and it pretty much, you almost can say, oh, it's going to go in. Mm-hmm. And that's where Wisconsin's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to come out and shoot.
Yeah.
And be there.
Team defense, it's not sexy. You know, steals and blocks, they get a lot of they get most of the praise and SportsCenter highlights, but team defense is a big part of what not only wins championships, but it comes into play when you got two teams offensively that are a hair apart. I think either one of us could take the SportsCenter angle on this one or the talk radio angle on this one, where you take one side and I take another, and both of us would be right, even though we'd have a great debate. To me, BYU doesn't play very sync defense. That has been an issue for them all season. Wisconsin does. They just don't always do it consistently. If they can start out strong, they don't have to start out hot, hitting every shot, but start out 3 of 5, 2 of 4, something like that, and be playing solid defense right away. Get in their heads right away that there is going to be no shot is not going to be contested. Really, you know, even put, I don't mind if they even put a little more energy into defense than offense in this game. It could get out of hand if you don't get in their face. But to me, BYU is, and I've only seen BYU a handful of times this season, I'll admit, but they're a team that can get rattled. And like a lot of these teams in that division, in that conference, I should say, if they're not hitting their shots, they're almost done. They're almost done at halftime. That's one of my problems with the SEC. They've got so many great shot players there, but they don't have a lot of great defense. And a lot of those teams are very, you know, go with the flow. And if the shot isn't there, they don't fight back. That's why I was so locked into this North Carolina Ole Miss game. I wanted to see if Ole Miss can hang on to this lead, because once they start getting beat up, these SEC teams, I don't see them fight back. I don't see them play strong, other than maybe Auburn, towards the end of the season, even though they didn't win some of those games, they kept fighting against Alabama and some of that. Alabama, though, is one of those teams, to me, if you can get in their head, if you can, you know, rattle them a little bit, they're done. I don't count on them.
Well, you know, I'm pulling up my stat thing here, and I'm looking. So on the league rankings, they have BYU, they're 29th, and Wisconsin is 40th. And it's BYU is 1 point better than Wisconsin for points. Mm-hmm. They score 80.9, Wisconsin's at 79.9. But this is the one that I'm looking at here is the field goal percentage, where they're BYU is ranked 21st in the league with 48.3%, where Wisconsin's at 45.5%. And then on the assist end of it, there's a big difference there too, where BYU has 100 or has a 17.1 per game compared to 14.6 for Wisconsin. But what really stands out to me is the free throw percentage, where Wisconsin's number one in the country.
Yeah.
At 800.827 compared to where BYU is at 700.704.
Yeah,
but
that's a great stat, man. That's a great couple of stats right there you just mentioned.
Right, but then I'm looking at their last five games that BYU played. They lost to Houston, but they beat Iowa twice within the last month. Iowa State. They beat them at Iowa State and at home. It's going to be. Wisconsin is, their defense is going to have to really step up this next game. They have the total over under is 155, and they have BYU favored by 1 point, and that is what comes down. Yeah,
I haven't seen.
Yeah, they got them favored by 1 point, and which comes down to the average scores of what pretty much what it is. They're a point difference between the two. So Wisconsin, I think they should win. Now, if they do win, because obviously the Big Ten compared to the Big 12 is a little different, you know. I don't know. I think Wisconsin could end up being just at the Sweet 16. Facing Alabama and then probably getting beat because Alabama's. They're tough. They're looking good.
It'd be a feather in the cap of the season to even get to the Sweet 60. Honestly, even getting this far and winning that first round, you just don't want to go out in the first round. Anything after that, I think you can stomach. You can, not even just spin, just really put, really build on from to the next year.
Right.
I don't think anybody really had Wisconsin in this place either. Next year, it might be a different story, but I don't think that a lot of people thought that Wisconsin was going to be a number three seed or make a run in the Big Ten tournament or some of the things they've done this season. Them out either, because everything I was just saying about Alabama. If Alabama starts out, if it does work out that way, and it's Wisconsin and Alabama in the Sweet 16, and that first couple of minutes of the game, and Alabama's not hitting their shots, Wisconsin's in it. Because they may start out slow, but Wisconsin is consistent in getting points on the board at the very least. I think that a slow start is different to a lot of the talking heads out there than what it is to me. A slow start to me is every shot is just hitting backboard. Just hitting backboard. Like everybody takes a shot. Everybody in their life that has picked up a basketball has had a shot that rims and goes out. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about guys who are airballing, who are hitting the backboard and nothing else. That's a cold start to me. I know that most people, especially average fans out there that are just picking up this game right now and everything and do this every year, a slow start means so much more because of the time these guys spend in the gym practice shooting before they go out there. It's not as they're already using their legs. They're already warmed up by the time we see them and that ball is tipped. If they're cold starting out, they were probably cold in practice. And that lingers in their head. That stays with them. Even if they start off the game cold, if they were hot in practice, they're all right. They can pick that back up. The mentality of a shooter is unfathomable. Is a gunslinger mentality. Is basically almost every kid in basketball is Brett Favre. They just keep throwing it, man. And an interception. Right. Sure. What was that? I don't remember that last play. I have no idea what you're talking about. This is the first play I've ever had in my life. They just keep going. It looks like Ole Miss may hang on to this one over North Carolina as a side note.
And I think I haven't looked. I got to look at my bracket again. I think I might have had them, but I don't know. The whole March Madness, the whole big big tournament and everything. It's so fun to watch. And I know we kind of got into it a little bit yesterday with the NIL and all that stuff and how, but you're starting to see the upsets now. You're starting to see some of these teams that probably shouldn't have won. They won. Yeah. That's the whole thing about good thing about the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You can sit there and debate it all you want. Let those guys go out there and play and do what they need to do to win those games.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I will say about the NIL thing, the thing that I enjoy about whether it's talking with you or Michael about it, and it may seem like, I think, to some, especially if you're just jumping into the conversation or anything, that we may not see eye to eye on it. I think with all three of us and the majority of people out there, everybody's on the same page. It's just the logistics or little details here and there that need to be fine-tuned, and that's where the NCAA and the adults out there need to really come up to step up to the plate. The problem mm-hmm. that I have with most of this conversation is, and I am not at all taking light 17, 18, 19 year old men or women for that matter. I just mean individuals. They're adults. They can vote. They can do certain things at that age. But I also, kids are going to be kids. Why is it up to them? Why do we put so much of the onus on them, and they've got to have this kind of character and they've got to be this kind of person? That's what the adults in the room are supposed to be helping them build.
Right.
Not letting an agent get in their ear and misguide them. But whoever the guardians, the parents, the other coaches of other teams, it shouldn't. Yes, I understand how intense recruiting can be. But the overall goal was supposed to be whatever's best for this kid. If it's with my university, which I believe, yeah, that'd be great. If he doesn't come here, all right, we'll move on to the next kid. Going to social media and talking trash about this kid or something right. like that, like some of the things we see from some of these coaches or some of the retired coaches coming out and saying that, oh, it's anarchy, it's the Wild West, we should just go back to the way it was, et cetera. How childish is it, the idea of being able to put anything, and this you could appoint this to anything in life right now, how childish is it to think we can just put the genie back in the bottle? You know, whatever we're talking about in society, especially right. in this day and age where everything's on the internet, there's copies of everything. It's kind of childish to think that we can do that. What we need to do is be adults and show these young adults what it is to be an adult, how it is to handle these kind of situations. And right. hey, you got options. This is how you decide what's best for you and your future. Not here's a bunch of money. Come here. Yeah, you know, this is any 18-year-old that's ever had $5,000 put in front of their face or $50,000 or whatever it is that these kids are getting offered. Please go ahead and call in and let me know how you handled that, because I have no idea. I have no idea how an 18-year-old is supposed to handle that. I have no idea how I would have handled it.
Well, and the biggest thing I have with the whole NIL thing and this whole thing is the kid that played Wisconsin last year, AJ Storr. Okay.
Yeah.
He played with Wisconsin for 1 year. But now he's on his fifth school.
Yeah.
It's just chasing the money. That's all they're doing is chasing. But you can't, if they want to be paid like professional athletes, put them under contract, because professional athletes they have to stay under those contracts.
Couldn't agree with you
and
more.
That's where I have the issue, is that these kids don't have it. These kids just can say, oh, I don't like the coach. We lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and now another school is going to give me $100,000 more than what Wisconsin is going to give me, so I'm going to go there.
It drives me crazy too. I can't stand it any more than I can in the pro sports with mm-hmm. guys being able to leave or want to be stomp their feet and say I want out. I hate right. it when a college coach tells his players, like Coach Kill did, and I heard him telling his players I'm not going anywhere while his wife was packing his suitcase and he left at midnight to take the mm-hmm. Minnesota job. I can't stand any of these things.
Right.
But to me, again, I can't get mad at a kid for being a kid. The idea of they shouldn't take these options or these opportunities or anything like that, I agree with you. But at the same time, we get mad sometimes, or they used to. They don't anymore. But I remember when the signing bonus first became a thing in sports, and mm-hmm. it first became reported on. This guy signed a $50 million contract. 15, 20 million of it was a signing bonus. And we're like, wow, he's getting $15 million for signing his name? for just doing yeah. so? You know, that doesn't seem to make sense. And people will get mad at the player. It's like, well, who's going to turn that down? If the team is offering it, I'm not going to. No, you know what? No, no, thank you. I don't need that extra $15 million. I'm fine. Who's going to turn that down? I mean, the idea of telling other people, you know, to how to handle their morals or how to handle their life. It's a little bit. There's a little bit of a gray area to me there that needs to be straightened out by adults. It keeps coming back to me, to the powers that be. Why are they getting paid at the NCAA board of directors and those people, if not to do this, to give some order to this and make and take away some of these options? Because it shouldn't be that you can just play for a team for three games and be like, well, you know what, my season's not going well, they benched me, I want to go somewhere else. No, that's not about. That's not what an adult does. You stick it out. You see things through. If you signed a contract, that's what you're a big boy. You gotta see with that contract through. Until they do these things, I can't get mad at these kids for being kids.
Well, you're 100, and that's what I. That's, I mean, they're going to keep doing it. What they're going to do, and that's. But that's where the NCAA is going to have to come in and say, okay, enough is enough. You guys got to sign contracts. You know, if it's a 2-year contract, so you got to fulfill it, because what's going to happen if you don't fulfill it in the NBA or in the NFL?
Yeah.
You're not going to get paid,
right?
And if, you know, if these athletes want to be that way, it's time to.
I here's hoping that they can put some order to this and they can get some kind of something going, because until they do, it's gonna, not only is it gonna remain to be a problem, it could get to be even a bigger problem than it already is.
That article I sent you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's too much of that going on. Always good to talk to you, man, and I feel like I always keep you longer than you mean to, but always appreciate
you're
it.
You're all good, James. You're all good. I enjoy talking with you and all that, so.
Have a great night, man. Thanks for the call.
You enjoy your weekend.
You too. Enjoy the basketball. 715-424-2600. Phone lines are wide open. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. It looks like the March Madness is wrapping up a little bit here. We do have a little bit of news. It looks like Cooper Flagg came out of the Duke win fully healthy, but is still a little bit sore. Really, you know, impressive nowadays, especially talking NIL and so much of these kids understanding the business of the college athletics and everything, to see him continuing to play hurt, I think actually may, not that, I mean, how do you help your draft stock when you're already the projected number one pick by everybody? I don't know how you help your draft stock, but I think you're showing the NBA, it's not so much showing the teams, but maybe showing the NBA players what kind of person you are at 18 years old to be doing that. Again, he's a kid. I'm impressed by that. I can't remember. I think maybe Grant Hill. I'm trying to think of the last Duke player that made me actually pull for Duke a little bit. I didn't mind Grant Hill, but those teams, they had Leitner too. I don't know. I don't know. I am locked in on the Badgers BYU game. Would love to talk that with you. Talk more about that with you guys. Feel free to call up and join us about that one. When we get back, I want to talk about this survey that talked about they took about America's sport fans say, what is America's game? This new poll and talking about what is America's game. Getting into the old adage of, America's favorite pastime, baseball. Is it still? We'll talk about that and continue the baseball talk as we are really on the cusp of opening day. Oh, God, I love it. Not only that, but we got Rafter baseball around the corner as well. Looking forward to it. And as I'm touching on baseball, I do have a stat of the show a little bit later about a former baseball player, but I want to take a moment to talk about a different former baseball player, Bobby Jenks. For those who don't know, Bobby Jenks, former closer in the MLB, was drafted by the Angels, played for my Chicago White Sox. I say that because it's one of the only times I could say anything with pride about the White Sox. Bobby was the closer, I believe. Yeah. He got the ground out to help the White Sox win the World Series, cut an 88-year drought back in 2005. One of my favorite sports moments I'll ever, I will be on my deathbed thinking about that moment and the look on his face when that happened. I bring this up right now because Bobby Jenks is currently battling stage 4 stomach cancer. And along with that, his family lost their home in the Palisades fires. And it's just a gut-wrenching story for an individual that has given so much to not only the sport of baseball, but to communities that he has lived in. I know that he did a lot in the Chicago area. He has an opportunity for us to help, though. If you haven't heard of this website, and I'll admit, this is part of the reason I'm bringing this story up. There's a great website called PassPros.com. And it's a great way to find out about former athletes, what they're up to, how they are doing, and also in situations like Mr. Jenks' situation, to help out. His family is in really dire straits right now, both trying to cover health costs and medical bills, along with just trying to get back on their feet after they lost everything during this fire. You can go ahead and go to PassPros.com. You can type in the name of Bobby Jenks or any former player of any sport, not just baseball, but any sport. And find different opportunities to get involved with them and the things that they're doing. A lot of these athletes are there doing well. They're just there signing autographs and raising money for different causes that they want. But with Bobby Jenks' situation, I know I got a couple baseball cards I'd like to have him signed. What I can do is sign up for it, and I send him the cards, and then he sends them back signed with the official, everything being official on it and everything. PassPros.com is an official website. All the major sports organizations back it. It is a reputable site. And a noteworthy situation I thought was worth mentioning. And a big tip of the baseball cap to Mr. Jenks, wishing him the best, him and his the best. We will take a timeout. We'll come back and have another inning, have some more fun on Playmakers here on WFHR, brought to you by Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope y'all are having a great Friday afternoon out there, Friday night, if you will. James here with you. Phone lines are open. Hit us up, 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. If you are busy, if you don't feel comfortable calling in, you can also text us your sports thoughts and feelings through the Civic Media app. Keep that app handy, everybody, because starting next week, we've got another one of our statewide up and down the state text-to-win contests. Our break into spring text-to-win contest is kicking off on Monday. We got some cool prizes that are a part of this one. We've got $100 cash during alternate hours we're going to give away, a Chula Vista family stay, pair of Brewers tickets, club level. Not bad, not bad. And our grand prize is this awesome, just bedroom set. A queen-size medium plush mattress, bamboo sheets, mattress protector, all the things, all the fixings you need for it. It's a great set of prizes we have for this one. Really excited about it. Be listening for that keyword to text to us starting Monday. Oh, can't wait. It's going to be fun. We love giving things away around here. Civic Media gives us a lot of opportunities to do that. Big shout-out to everybody who worked so hard on that promotion. And all the sponsors and everybody that are a part of it. We'll talk baseball in a moment, but I did want to get this news in. I've been sitting on this one for a little bit, and I hadn't heard anybody really mentioning it. I'm sure some people have, but I did want to note the NFL announced recently from Rob Dombrowski, covers the Packers for a long time, does a great job doing it. The Ed Block NFL Athletic Trainer Staff of the Year Award went to the Green Bay Packers. Brian Flea Engel and a bunch of others were noteworthy in this, in the staff over there in Green Bay. Not the the MVP headline or some of the headlines you might see when NFL awards are handed out. I really would like the NFL to do a little better job of announcing these kind of awards, though, because maybe it doesn't mean much right now to anybody, but during the NFL season, I don't know about anybody else, but I know me and my friends, it comes up all the time about training staffs and how good, how bad they are, and how some teams just traditionally seem to have an injury bug and some teams don't. With the injuries the Packers suffered last year, I think it's noteworthy, especially considering they didn't have too many groundbreaking, backbreaking, season-ending injuries. They had injuries like with Jordan Love early on in the season and some of that. It's a credit to that staff and to these athletes, of course, but to the staff that they were able to get back out there. It can be a completely different season with season-ending injuries. And, that's a luck of the draw sometimes, and sometimes it's a great training staff. I think that's a huge feather in the cap if you're the Green Bay Packers, especially when it comes to recruiting and trying to bring free agents in. I know for me that, the money, hey, that sounds really good right there. Also, am I going to be able to stay on the field? That's a pretty nice award to be able to tell free agents and tell your players of how much you are working to keep them healthy and keep them out there. Speaking of Green Bay, interesting article from Chris Shad at MSN.com that I just happened to come across about the Packers and their pro day. The pro day is coming up that they're going to be attending and where their focus is kind of going to be. A lot of people look at this to look at the tea leaves and try to see, hey, what are they going to do during the draft? Where are they going with that first round pick? Right now, if you were making guesses and you were looking at that and trying to read these tea leaves, it does look like they are putting a lot of personnel going to Derek Harmon's pro day, the Oregon defensive tackle. He is a first round prospect, played incredibly well for Oregon. And I don't think a lot of people think of Oregon in defense, but in recent years, they've been pulling in some pretty heavy recruits on the defensive side of the ball. And a nice player. Where would you like to see Green Bay go with their draft pick? And if not their first, you know, where we'd like to see them eventually pick, you know, pick up a this or pick up a that. I'm curious to see. I will say this is one of those years I feel pretty confident about a couple of things. I don't believe that they'll grab a receiver in the first round. I don't think that's going to happen. And I feel pretty confident they're not grabbing a quarterback. Now, that's an easy one, I think, in part because they still have Malik Willis under contract. And how good does that feel? How many NFL teams feel better about their backup quarterback than the Green Bay Packers do right now? Again, might not seem like a big deal right here in March, but something, you know, I wish this is not always easy for me to say as a Bear guy, but I'm a Jordan Love fan. I liked him in college. Seems like a good kid. I'm rooting for him. I want him out there. But he's had some injuries. And, you know, having a good backup quarterback is dire in today's NFL. If you have even the slimmest of playoff chances, to not put time and effort and resources into your backup quarterback is a failure on the organization. The whole organization, not just the GM, owners, the water boy, everybody. Like, I look at Miami as the example, maybe number one in this regard. Tua has shown you that he has a history of injuries and severe injuries. And in his situation, possibly career-ending injuries. If you are looking at that team, you're looking at a team that is supposed to be bouncing back after a bad year that they were supposed to be good last year. Your whole season is on your quarterback. Every NFL team. There's not one NFL team that you can look at and say if their starting quarterback goes down, their Super Bowl odds go up. That doesn't exist. And there's not even 32 good quarterbacks out there, let alone, you know, 64 or anything like that. How about that math? That was pretty quick. That was pretty good. It wasn't bad for somebody who's really bad at math. I don't know. But regardless, to not put time and effort into your backup quarterback is a failure on your franchise. And in Miami, they addressed this situation with Zach Wilson. I don't know. I don't know that that's the best option they could have gone with. I don't know that that's the best, for a guy in Mike McDaniel who has a bit of a, if not a hot seat, a seat that certainly ain't cold. I don't know about that. In Green Bay, you have a solid backup quarterback. You have a guy that I would feel confident if you're going into a wild card game or first round playoff game or something like that, and you got Malik Willis starting. You might not feel as good, obviously, as you would with Jordan Love, but I wouldn't have my head down. I wouldn't go into it feeling like, oh, we've already lost. You got a shot with that kid. You got especially his second year in the system. Malik Willis, like a lot of these young quarterbacks out there, have not had a consistent offensive coordinator. Well, neither has Jalen Hurts, and he just won a Super Bowl, but for the most part, that is the outlier. That is not how that usually goes. Got to have a good backup. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this. This is an open question, by the way. You don't have to call in right this second. We're getting, we're still a little ways away from the draft. But I would like to hear from you guys and know where you'd like to see Green Bay go in the draft. what you're interested in the draft? Are you going to the draft? It's here. It's a couple hours away. This may never happen again. You go into the draft. Like, I don't know. I find it very interesting, and I know I'm looking forward to it, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get in Mike Clemens' suitcase and, you know, just sneak into the draft somehow or figure out a way to get into it, because I got to. I just got to. I've been watching a draft my whole life. I got to watch. Want to talk a little baseball with everybody as we are less than a week away from opening day. Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good to say that. And came across a new poll that asked, which sport do you consider to be America's game? And 38% picked baseball. Coincidentally, MLB launches its 2025 season in just less than a week, as I mentioned there. Football came in next at 35%, so not too far away. Creeping up. A lot higher than it was 10 and 20 years ago, that's for sure. Basketball came in third at 10%, soccer at 2%, hockey at 1%, and golf came in at 1%. The demographic that pushed baseball over the top is female Midwestern boomers. Younger men and women from the South were more likely to say it's football. Interesting. 11% of people said baseball players are more interesting relative to other professional athletes. 19% said that they are less interesting, and 42% said that they are equally interesting. The poll also asked, which pro sport is the most fan-friendly to attend? And I'm curious to see where these two surveys kind of rank with each other. Baseball came in at number one with 30%, football at 18%, and 10% said basketball, 4% said hockey, another 4% said soccer, and 33% weren't sure. Golf did not make the list when it came to fan-friendly. How much does the fan-friendly part play into the first survey in America's game, or the game we consider America's game, or whatever? Because I think that part of the reason baseball is still America's game, why it is certainly, you know, it's the oldest sport. It was on radio before anything else. It got ahead of the game when it came to getting into your living room. And that's not to say that that doesn't keep you in number one. You've got there's a lot of other factors that have led into that, but that's just the opening factor. But I think baseball has remained there regardless of strikes or steroids or other controversies or even just world disasters that affect games. And, you know, looking at the World Series some years back that got stopped by an earthquake. Baseball, continues on. And I think a big, big part of it is because we love to be at the game. We love to listen to the game. There's a part of baseball that I think hits nostalgically for everybody, no matter what your age is, whether you're in your 40s like me, or you're in your 70s out there, or you're in your 20s. Baseball is one of the few sports that I think is handed down. I think sports are going to be handed down a lot more now. But I think that the overall factor that keeps baseball in that number one spot is how much people enjoy to go to games. Watching, listening to the games, those are factors. But physically going to a baseball game, the event of doing that, more people enjoy that than I think they do going to any of the other sports. I'm not saying what I enjoy, but just in general. What I not only hear from people, but what I've experienced in my life and what I see. And some of that is nostalgia, I think. And some of it is just, I think, as simple as, you know, as odd as it may sound, being able to see the players' faces and make a true connection to them. It's so much harder to do with hockey and football with the mask and the pads and everything. You don't really know what these guys look like until you see them out of pads. And then it's almost like they're a completely different person. And that's true with hockey and football, especially with mentality. And the way Mike Singletary is probably the greatest example in history of this. Mike Singletary on the field did not blink. I genuinely don't believe that man, whether at Baylor or in Chicago, that man ever blinked. Eyes like saucers, the samurai. And then off the field, as soon as that game ended, The Reverend, the preacher, Reggie White is an even better example of this. Every single athlete that ever played against Reggie White in college, in Philly, in Green Bay, all have a story. And all of them end the same. Just Reggie dominating you. Reggie defeating you. Reggie making you second guess your life. Do I really want to play football anymore? Reggie White would do that to people. And then afterwards, you'd hold his hand and pray with him. Like, that's football. That's hockey ain't that much different. Hockey, they're beating the living daylights out of each other. And then the most unhonorable thing you can do in hockey is not shake the other guy's hand at the end of the game, especially a guy that you were mixing it up with. So the dualness of this and people on the field, off the field, when the game's going on, when it isn't, you don't get as much of that in baseball. Maybe a little bit in basketball, but not nearly as much in basketball either. And I know you can still see the players and everything, but in basketball, whether no matter what their hair or their skin or any of these things look like, oftentimes you're looking at guys that are 3, 4, 5 inches taller than you, which makes it harder to relate to them. Baseball, certainly you got freakish athletes like Aaron Judge and everything, but your average baseball athlete, regardless of how great in shape they are, their size or measurements or anything, you're seeing them bent down oftentimes in the infield and that. You're seeing them in a uniform that doesn't exactly, highlight how gigantic some of these guys are and built and everything. There's a relatability that builds there. And going back to tying it all into nostalgia and growing up with it and so many other things. But this is a survey. It's a blind survey. Let's take a real survey. Let's hear from you. What do you think? What do you think America's game is? What do you think overall? And what is your game? What is the game that you love to watch most? And is it the same? I think there's a difference of the games that you love to watch on TV and the games you'd like to be in person with. I think I enjoy football more on TV than I do at the game. At the game, I get a little frustrated because I can't see things as well going on, and I'm so used to watching it on TV that I want to know, what was that penalty? What's going on? I can't hear the ref. I don't know what those hand signals mean. Now, baseball, you got a gist of it. You're not waiting necessarily for the umpire to tell you what just happened. Hockey is easily my favorite sport to watch in person. I, of course, am a little biased about this one, but don't mean I'm wrong. If you haven't watched hockey live, you go right ahead. You tell me what you think, because there's nothing like hockey live. And playoff hockey live, whew, whole different animal. Everything about the competitiveness of sports I love, nothing embraces it more than hockey playoffs. And speaking of that, I know we are not talking with Coach as much coming up in the next couple of months because the River Kings season has ended. But I do want to shout out the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings one more time before the next time we do talk to Coach and have our fourth period or anything. Very proud of this team. Very proud of the season that they had. I understand that it didn't go the way that we wanted it to. Nobody understands that or is taking that more seriously than that coaching staff and those players. And with that being said, man, I would not want to be another team in that division next year. Saw how motivated they were coming out of last year, going from natties and not winning at all. How do you think they're going to be this year, coming into the next season, after this performance? Yeah. That I guarantee you, I put my name on this, that coaching staff right now is building for next year and scouting and looking at what they could do to make this team better and not only win our division, but get to the Natties and win it all. I wouldn't bet against them. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date with all the things they are doing throughout the offseason. We'll be talking to Coach again real soon, I'm sure. We'll, of course, be talking Rafters as well. Looking forward to that as the Rafters opening day is just getting closer and closer. Was past Witter Field the other day, and it was one of the nicer days. This is the last week. But did see a bunch of the guys in the outfield in uniform just tossing the ball around, laughing, having fun. getting used to the surroundings. Feels good. Feels good. Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. Let's take our final time out of the week. It's all right. We can make it to the end of the game without them. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. And we're able to do this thanks to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate the calls today and the messages. And, of course, a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, for sponsoring this hour, giving us a chance three times a week to hang out with y'all. We will be doing that again next week. Looking forward to it. And, of course, we'll be continuing to follow your Wisconsin Badgers as they continue on in the tournament. Taking on BYU tomorrow afternoon. Our pregame will kick off at 5:30 for that one. And you can catch it right here on the radio at WFHR. 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Now, I say that because you cannot get it on the app. CBS and the NCAA have rules about this, so we cannot stream it, cannot have it on there. But you can get it old school. Yep, pull out that radio if you don't already have it out and go ahead and listen that way. Especially so you can keep up with the important information. Like the fact that I am right now third in the standings of the Civic Media March Madness pool. I know how much you guys care about that information. No, you don't care. Why do we do this as talking heads and tell people how our brackets are doing? You guys don't care. It's not just me. All of them. Anybody on ESPN or Fox, that's what they're doing right now. I did want to mention two stats of the show. And I want to thank not only Nate Jelinek, Assistant Director of Brand Communications with UW Athletics in Wisconsin, but also Pam for forwarding this to me. Wisconsin had five players score in double digits for the fifth time this season against Montana, and the first time since doing so at Purdue on February 15th. This is interesting for a lot of reasons, but mainly the Badgers are 5-0 this season when doing that, when five players get into double digits. Not only is that great team defense showing its way through and great team play, a lot of assists in that game, a lot of looking for opening shots for other guys. But it's also noteworthy because that's where you're seeing not only a big distribution of the ball, but you're seeing anybody can get hot at any moment. So we're going to go with the hot hand, even if it's five guys. That bodes well for Wisconsin going up against an offensive-minded team in BYU. And a pretty interesting stat. And a little more positive than my other stat of the show, because this one feels mean. I'm going to be honest with everybody. But I do have an overall point, and I want to make it very clear. I have nothing against Joey Gallo. I don't know anything about Joey Gallo, really, and that's really odd of me to say about any player in any sport. But Joey Gallo recently was cut, basically, by the Chicago White Sox, and has announced that he's kind of giving up the bat and going to pitching at 31 years old, I believe, that he's going to start. He's going to try to be an MLB starting pitcher or relief pitcher wherever they can fit him. So by all rights, it looks like Joey Gallo will probably remain out of MLB. If he does get back in, it will be as a pitcher. And what is his career batting average? Joey Gallo's career batting average. And if you know anything about Joey Gallo, you know that he is a bit of a strikeout guy. His career batting average is 194. And Joey Gallo's hit some nice hits. He's got a good home run. He's got 208 career home runs. Not shabby at all. And I maintain that when I was a kid, I don't think Joey Gallo would have made it out of AAA. I really feel like if you really want baseball to be better, you know, getting rid of the shift, pitch clocks, all that stuff is great. I don't know that baseball is ever going to really bounce or be what it could be with this many teams, because there just isn't that many great players to fill all these teams. That's probably not a popular opinion. I don't expect people to really like that feeling, but it's the truth. There's too many teams, and they're talking about expanding even more. You got guys making millions of dollars that can't even bat over 200. That's just insane to me.
throwing away money, and they kind of have to. They kind of, you know. I wonder if there will be a shift, no pun intended, in this. And hey, the guys that are just swinging for the fences every at bat, they're not making it to the big game. I wonder if that'll happen. Another note, baseball-wise, the Milwaukee Brewers are settling this shortstop situation. They're moving Joey Ortiz to third base permanently. It's an interesting move. We'll see how that benefits. Bryce Terang is going to be at second. So it'll be interesting to see how Pat Murphy looks at that and shuffles that around throughout the season. Terang is, of course, one of the league's best second basemen and won NL Platinum Glove last season. So you definitely want to keep him there. And Ortiz is an up-and-comer. Nice piece for them. Really nice piece for them, especially defensively. See how that goes. Next week, I want to get into with Seth and the guys. This interesting article I came across about drafting the World Series favorites. Who do you think is the favorites to win the World Series? Going to give you three, four bets to take, and we'll see how that develops throughout the season. Pretty sure everybody's going to pick the Dodgers. And that's pretty understandable. Big thank you to all of our guests this week, our co-hosts, and especially all you callers out there. And all your feedback, whether you call in or you just give me feedback off air, greatly appreciate it. You guys make this show move. And, of course, a big thank you to Quality Press Printing and Family Natural Foods. Buy local, support local, and have a great weekend, everybody.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.